Welcome back, Truth Seekers. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Yeah, you're tuned to the right place. Broadcasting live from California, Mike is on vacation all this week long somewhere down there in sunny Florida, so I'm told. So you have me, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker. Having fun. We're okay. Everything's all right, Tony. Don't worry. Tomorrow night, Ed Asner is going to join us, talk about his new movie, Up. Have you seen it? Have you heard of it? It's really good. It's really beautiful. And, of course, much more, but I don't have the list in front of me. Then on Wednesday, Sibel Edmonds is going to be with us for at least an hour to take your calls. So you'll want to tune in for that. And speaking of calls, you can give us one right now, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. I have to give out the number a lot because folks may be calling Mike Malloy's regular 800 number, and that ain't no good. Ain't going to get you to us. But 877-520-1150 will. That'll get you right here to Stephanie Miller Studio, where I, Brad Friedman, am sitting in for Mike Malloy. Did you do all that math? Oh, and by the way, our call screener, Randy Rhodes call screener. So you see, I'm being held up on the wings of progressive angels all around me. Speaking of progressive angels, hi, Mimi.
Hi, Brad.
My friend Mimi Kennedy joins us in studio. She is the advisory board chair. See, I wrote it down.
Yes.
I know what it is, but I wrote it down anyway. I didn't want to get it wrong. Advisory board chair of Progressive Democrats of America. So far, so good?
So far, so good.
All right. Dharma's mom. From Dharma and Greg.
That's right, too.
All right. And we're going to discuss all things progressive, including your new film, which is not out yet.
Nope.
Unless you're really clever in figuring out where to see it, as I did with you over the weekend at the LA Film Festival out here. It's called In the Loop. It's a... Now, I was trying to figure out how to describe this, Mimi. A political black comedy? Is that
that's
a farce?
That's a really good way.
Satire? How do we describe this?
Well, BBC Feature Films did it. We shot it over in London with a British cast who does a regular political satire TV show, director Armando Iannucci.
Right.
So it is about a rushed war in the Middle East that the United States seems to be orchestrating, fixing some facts, as so to speak, around some policy. And it's a total fiction.
Yes, I have no idea. Where did this story come from? It was out of the blue.
I don't know.
Yeah. And you play the, what is it, Assistant Secretary of State.
One of the many Assistant Secretaries of State that there are in the State Department. I play one that feels that this rush to war is going too fast. James Gandolfini plays a Pentagon general who also feels that perhaps we ought to think about the practical implications before we rush to war. And then these Brits play the ministers and the other underlings of the Foreign Service Department in Britain during a administration.
Tom Hollander, I think, plays the Minister of International Affairs.
Yes.
And I don't even know if there is a Minister of International Affairs or not, but he was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And the film was hysterical.
Yeah.
I mean, given the subject matter, it was stunning. I think as I was watching it, I was sort of thinking that it was West Wing meets... Faulty Towers
meets the office. Downing Street Memo.
Yeah, meets the Downing Street, and people were eating it up, laughing like crazy.
Yeah.
I thought it was hysterical, and given the subject matter that we're dealing with, that's no easy feat, but...
No.
It's before the war. It's
trying to stop the war. Well, the first thing I said in the talk back is there's still a war going on. So the only reason we're...
you might not know it if you listen
to the mainstream
watch the news.
Press. But,
but Bobby Brown and Rihanna or whoever the hell...
A war in their souls. But anyway, what you see is the kind of behavior on the part of human beings being narcissistic and thinking about their careers and thinking about how much they're enjoying being in the corridors of power and how neat that is. So that when they're actually talking about mass slaughter, they don't know what they're talking about. And it has happened, not just recently, but it's happened many times. The war system does this. And what's great about the movie is comedy out of tragedy. If you can see the ridiculous behavior of human beings not knowing what they're doing, perhaps you will not repeat that behavior, nor will you accord it any dignity or respect when you see it happening again.
And for these people in this film, and you sort of see the British side and the U.S. side, the diplomats behind the scenes, sort of just below the prime minister level on one side and the president level on the other side.
The deciders, so to speak.
The real deciders,
so to speak.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet the way they went about making these decisions, it was almost like... I want to talk to when Marcy Winograd is going to join us at the bottom of the hour,
yeah.
Because one of the things that struck me as I was watching the film was that all of these people sort of seem like normal people,
just
human beings doing their job. You know, they're not what you see on the TV and the speeches. It's just, you know, you and your former ex-husband, Gandolfini? Is he
Gandolfini?
Supposed to be former ex-husband?
There
was
that.
Seemed like there was a past relationship,
yes, exactly.
And you guys were figuring out, well, how the hell are we going to stop this war?
Exactly. That's what we were doing. And who's going to leak this? The real fact. It's the fact-based community versus the what did they call it? The reality-based community?
The reality-based community.
That was a real phrase that was thrown around.
Yeah.
And we are the reality-based community, James and I, in mm-hmm. the movie, in a whirlwind of non-reality-based communitarians.
It kicks off, the entire tale kicks off because this, the actor's name? Because I want to give him credit because he's Tom Hollander, his character,
yes.
as the Minister of International
yes.
Affairs. He goes on some radio show and they ask him about war and he says, war is unforeseeable.
And that's not on message
right.
that the UK is supposed to be on. The UK is supposed to not be leading in this dance, but following in this dance.
Right.
And Hollander takes a little bit too much of a lead there, and he then has to figure out what the right thing is to say next. You know, there's a wonderful scene at the end where he goes, and now we're going to go to war, and our children will be killed, and their children will be killed. This is exactly what I didn't want to do when
right.
I went into...
And he tries to not. He tries to be a party, to play along, and he's trying to figure out how to speak about this without saying, oh, we shouldn't go to war or we should. And I think he says that Britain is prepared to climb the mountain of conflict.
Sometimes in order to find the road to peace, you have to climb the mountain of conflict.
Yes.
And then the rush to war crowd takes that and thinks it as a heroic way to talk about the road ahead. And then he's in even deeper water.
And how much of this was based on his research, what really went on behind the scenes, or is this just sort of gleaned from what we know from the Downing Street memos
yeah.
and just sort of an imaginary tale of what we believe?
Armando Iannucci, having done political satire about the press secretary in the prime minister's office
right.
for years, or I think about 2 years before he wrote this movie, he's very attuned to what's going on. He loves politics. UK, Britain loves politics. He did imagine a lot of it. He has since been told by government officials in the UK that a lot of what he imagined, in fact, happened more or less.
Pretty much right on the money.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's going to the UN, so it's all the steps you have to take legally to go to the UN to get resolutions and so on. It's a very instructive little movie. But in the UK, they've compared it to Dr. Strangelove, which mm-hmm. is mighty praise.
Yeah.
But they have compared it to Dr. Strangelove in terms of its impact for being a film that shows war loving to be a little bit of a pathology.
Yeah, war loving
as
sport.
As power game, as, you know,
yeah.
exciting stuff to do.
Now, you know, we're looking back all these years later as how we went to war. And here
Luckily we are, because we're alive.
Well, I know. We're alive to do it, but
yeah.
even the people who are alive, very few of them are doing it. Very few of them are looking back. We
uh-huh.
had the story today that the Supreme Court has now denied Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson
yeah.
the right to get any kind of accountability for the White House having leaked, ruined her career.
History's being muffled.
Where the hell is everybody? Is everything solved now? Because no. Barack Obama, where are we? Where the hell's everybody?
Well, I would say what you're talking about, the we, is what is the mainstream conversation in America. To what kind of media do most of us have access? And when we do access the news or the media, what are we being given? And agenda building, demand management, these are concepts that are still very much operating. And I think you have to follow the money to understand. The agenda building usually is, here's something that the money wants that's sponsoring this program. And so they're going to make you worried about something that they have the solution to, or they're going to build demand for something so that you will finally then demand, oh, I want this.
So do we not care because the media hasn't reported it, or is the media not reporting it and therefore we don't care? And I'm not saying we don't care, but we're thinking about other things.
I think the media not reporting it, so we don't care, and people are moving on with their lives. There is a different administration in the White House, and people have a great deal of hope that, you know, elections are pretty exhausting. There's a lot of money. People give a lot of money. A lot of money is spent. People suspend their lives. They go to work, and then it's over, and there's an election. PDA, Progressive Democrats of America, spends a lot of 24/7 volunteer time trying to help our House of Representatives understand what the people want. It's a full-time job. So
yeah, that is alone. They're clueless. Yeah. Hold the thought. Yeah. We're going to come back and talk more about PDA, what it is you guys do, what it is you guys are fighting for, and how many people are out there ignoring you. I'm speaking with Mimi Kennedy, star of the upcoming movie In the Loop, also Dharma's mom, also the advisory board chair of PDA, Progressive Democrats of America. Check them out at pdamerica.org. Brad, in for Malloy. Give us a call, 877-520-1150. If you have a question for Mimi or me or about anything else, more right after this.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
Well done, Tony. Good choice. Brad Friedman on the Malloy program, live from Los Angeles and here in the studio with Mimi Kennedy of Progressive Democrats of America. She's got a new film coming up, and I want to make sure, when does it open? July?
Oh, it'll be out in theaters like July 17th, and then it rolls out July 24th.
And New York, and then
LA,
more cities thereafter. Try to see it. It's really good. We sort of started talking, turning to the idea of, you know, why do people no longer care, it seems, about this war? And I should give out the numbers. Don't use Mike Malloy's regular 800 number if you want to give us a call. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150.
I want to say something.
What's the reason?
Very simple. Our attention is turned, and I think with good reason and fruitfully, towards Iran right now.
Right.
The alleged stolen election, just as ours, allegedly was stolen in 2004, and the difference in the reaction that the people of Iran are in the streets. The positive thing, and I think things that Americans care about, passive, they react to this news. The good thing is those are all the people that 2 years ago, the right wing and many others in Congress were hoping that we would bomb.
Yeah, I know.
And now we see, no, we didn't bomb them. And isn't it good? Because look at the people we would have killed.
Yeah.
They're our friends. It's not...
We played earlier John McCain during the 08...
Bomb, Iran. Yeah. So at that time, Americans were kind of conditioned to believe that it was another country full of sand and poor people scrabbling and not knowing what to do, and terrorists were there. Mm-hmm. We have not been educated about the world, and at this moment we are being educated about the world by seeing what's happening in Iran. Now, interestingly,
you think it would be harder at this point to go to war against Iran?
Absolutely.
Because the American people have we're seeing these pictures and we're relating, and
that would be under the bombs, and we would get it. That it's not moral, and it's not helpful, and it's not strategic. It's not moral. It's murder.
And it wasn't until in Iraq, we never saw the people, did we? It wasn't until Michael Moore's film, Fahrenheit 9/11, came out, I think. And remember, he was criticized at the time because, oh, he showed happy people in Iran, and they weren't...
In Iraq,
and they didn't living. They weren't living in the sand.
We were
and they
supposed
were civilized.
To think it was a satanic leader, and we were being pumped full of the religious imagery of Satan versus God, and that we had to kill Satan, and if we could just kill Satan, everything would be fine. It's an ideological construct. It's very narcissistic, because it's always, you know, God is on our side, and the other side is Satan. And now we see the reality. Bombs kill people, and people are like us. They have stolen elections. They want democracy. They went out and tried to vote. They go to college. They have parents. And it's very interesting because you almost can't tell the Iran story as it's transpiring without running into false images that were planted 2 and 3 years ago, because now you have all the mullahs. Mm-hmm. You know, they're on different sides of the issue, depending, because, of course, just like our religious leaders, they're not all of one side.
And it's interesting because you've got these right-wingers now who are, they're criticizing Obama because he's not being tough enough on the mullahs, and yet, and they're in their support of Mousavi.
On the right mullahs, because there's some other
Some of the mullahs are
good.
Yeah, so they want to support Mousavi, and yet some of these same folks were sort of pushing for Ahmadinejad so they can still have their evil villain on
the
other side.
And it's a good evil scenario.
They're confused.
And we got to break out of it. But that's what happens on the news. The reason nobody cares is in the good evil scenario, which are the only two rivers we have to flow our water through of thought, evidently. There's a lot of stories now that don't fit. And that's part of the problem about violence. It's always us versus them. It's right or wrong. It's left or right. And there's so many solutions that lie between
there are
the
so
two.
Many gray areas and nuances, but the corporate media seems just unequipped to understand it, to report it, to help the American people understand that nuance, to do their job.
Now, could it be because there's more money in war?
There's a lot of money in war, isn't there? We're going to talk about money when we come back with Marcy Winograd and how difficult it is to get some if you're trying to run for office around here. Marcy Winograd is going to join us after this break. Mimi Kennedy, you're sticking with us here in studio. Brad Friedman in for Malloy, 27 after. We don't want to stay away.
It's the right wing singing this one to Marcy. Mama, let me be.
Oh, welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike all week long, live and local from Los Angeles, California. It's 34 after the hour here with Mimi Kennedy, Progressive Democrats of America. She has a new movie coming out, In the Loop. Keep your eyes out for that. Marcy Winograd is going to join us in 2 seconds, but as I was walking back into the studio here, I had noticed that Ann Coulter was on Fox News.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They allow her to go on Fox News. Now, I wrote a story.
She's not news.
Well, she should be news, because today, go to bradblog.com.
Oh, I did. I saw that.
Did you see that?
But they're not having her talk about that.
Certainly not. 5 months since the voter fraud complaint in Connecticut against Ann Coulter. She apparently voted twice illegally from New York, absentee, into Connecticut when her permanent residence was already established in New York. So this is a different voter fraud charge than the one that I've been reporting on for the last, I don't know how many years now, 3 years, down in Florida. She got off the hook on that one because she stalled, she delayed, she got her FBI boyfriend to come in and get her off the hook until the statute of limitations ran out. And now I'm wondering what's going on in Connecticut, where it has been 5 months since this complaint was made, and the officials told me, well, it's still on. It's still pending.
She's on the voter rolls.
She was on the voter rolls in Connecticut, even though she lived in New York.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Voter fraud. But yeah. She's over there. She's in O'Reilly. She was on Glenn Beck the other day. She was on Geraldo. Nobody asked her about this. In the meantime, they're doing this Acorn crap over and over again. And there was no voter fraud with Acorn. But Ann Coulter, different story. They don't give a damn. But don't get me started. I'll save it for another day because I don't want to eat into Marcy Winograd's time. Marcy Winograd joins us, the president of Progressive Democrats of Los Angeles, PDLA. I think that's PDLA.org, is it not, Amy? She is, once again, has announced her intentions to be the Democratic primary challenger against the embattled Democratic Representative Jane Harman in California's 36th Congressional District. She joins us now from somewhere here in L.A., but she couldn't make it in. Hey, Marcy, welcome to the show. Nope, I got to do this. There we go. Hey, Marcy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brad. It's great to be with you and Mimi tonight.
We're so glad you could join us here, and I'm so glad we can help you get the word out, you know, about your campaign, because these Democrats, Marcy, are driving me nuts.
And I'm sure they are.
Why? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I am talking to you right now from Arturo Rodriguez's 60th birthday party. He's the president of the United Farm Workers Union.
Uh-huh.
I'm here at the Biltmore Hotel in Los Angeles. I'm listening to Bobby Kennedy talk about how he traveled with his father through the South and how the people came to the train and waved to him and were so excited about his father's campaign and the hope that he extended to the world, to the country. And yet, you know, a few years later, these same people were coming out to support George Wallace. And he said, how is this possible?
Yep.
Because George Wallace was the antithesis of his father.
Yep.
And his answer was, you know what? People were looking for hope. My father offered hope, and that's what attracted them. Sometimes people make mistakes. There's, you know, the light and the shadow, but that it's so important that we as leaders, community leaders, reach out to those and offer hope and a vision of what could be as opposed to how terrible things are right now. And I feel that's what's really important in this campaign.
Well, you know, it is, Marcy, but the one...
Ooh!
Is that cheers for what she had to say? Or Bobby
that's the roar of the crowd.
Hope is important, but you know what? Marcy, we had a lot of hope. We put a guy in the White House who promised hope and change, and I don't know that we are getting it, that the Democrats are getting it. I suspect that's one of the reasons why you're running against Jane Harman. You told us, we ran a story at Bradblog.com today, where you promised to hold Obama accountable. Why are these Democrats in D.C., the ones who have been privileged to be elected and to serve us, why are they not getting it, not delivering on things like single-payer health care and all of these other things that we expected?
Brad, I have to say, I am as disappointed as you are. I think it's up to us, you know, as radio announcers, as media activists, as grassroots change agents, to really hold these people's feet to the fire. Just last week, Mimi and I were at a healthcare forum sponsored by Congressman's office where there was a whole panel and not one person on that panel was there to speak about single payer. Well, that didn't go over so well with the crowd, and the next thing I knew, I was on that panel talking about single payer, and now I hear that Congressman Waxman will be holding hearings, which he had refused to do, on single payer this week in Washington. So I think we just have to keep on.
That's,
you know,
right.
And we can't stop here. We just, in terms of the war and the occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan, I say, you know what? Now is not the time to let up. Absolutely. We cannot think that the anti-war movement has morphed into the elect Obama movement and is now comatose.
Well,
it is time to wake up.
We have to follow. Follow the Money is still one of the quickest ways to political enlightenment. And Healthcare Not Warfare is the way that progressive Democrats have characterized what's going on in Washington. I can still hear the Akashic wind.
It might be her cell phone. But we may be asking a lot. Aren't we asking a lot? I mean, the folks turned out in droves, obviously, in 2008. They got a Democrat in the White House, both chambers of Congress. And now what? We still have to do more to get them to hold
right.
their feet accountable?
The job's not over, clearly. The job's not over.
The lobbyists...
We had very few heroes, right, in Congress last week say we will not vote for that supplemental, another $100 billion for Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, my hat is off to Dennis Kucinich, who, as I hear, was the only person who took to the floor of Congress and argued against that supplemental. We need to be louder.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Mimi.
I was going to say the lobbyists are being paid $100,000, $150,000 a year to show up at 9 a.m. every day in some congressman's office to say what they want. They're making money doing that job. No progressive that I know is making money doing that job. They are, you know, doing it voluntarily. There are some people who are paid, but they're not highly paid, and there are not as many of them as there are the lobbyists for the pharma industrial complex, the medical industrial
complex. But how do you compete? Marcy, you need to raise a lot of money to take on this very powerful Democrat, Jane Harman. How
Absolutely.
Do we compete with these kind of numbers?
It's quite challenging because, look, face it, you need $400,000 to $500,000 to run a credible campaign for Congress. That's what it costs.
Yeah.
Can you do it for less? You could, but it would be nice to have that kind of money. So I'm appealing to communities like the Armenian community, the Greek community, the Persian community, to support me and to work not just in terms of holding fundraisers and coffees, but to really walk precincts because we need a very strong precinct operation. We need neighbors in their precincts to take ownership of those precincts and talk to their neighbors. That's the only way we can win. Look, Brad, maybe you know I cannot come up with $500 million. That's the estimated net worth of Jane Harman. Well, actually, I think she lost $100 million last year in the meltdown.
Whoa.
You're talking $400 million. Okay. I can't compete with that kind of money. The only way we can absolutely compete is through community organizing.
And you know, and that's where the passion does come in, because when you do talk to neighbors and you get through the divisions and the fictions that have been that have conditioned us to see things in as good and evil, people can understand when you propose a solution. And then once you get in the White House and once you reelect Congress people, Dennis Kucinich, God bless him, he did get on the floor of Congress and say, pretty soon the only thing that's going to be left made in America will be war. And he made that connection. You know, nobody said, hey, it's going to be too difficult to make $2 trillion for this war you
want
to fight,
you know,
Mr.
but it's
Bush.
Dennis Kucinich,
they
and so they don't put him on, you know, on CNN, on TV.
Right.
Bill Maher said over the weekend that he didn't even think Barack Obama was liberal. Why? Because he's seen Barack Obama on TV, and he knows that real liberals, Ralph Nader, Dennis Kucinich, they're not allowed on TV, and when they are, they're treated like buffoons.
Right.
Go ahead.
That's the big challenge. I mean, to legitimize what we stand for, and that is diplomacy, not war.
Thank you.
Not, except war perhaps as a very last resort, but not war as a systemic way of doing business. Which
and
is
a way to punish people
States.
We don't like.
Yes, and I think that the pressure not just needs to be applied not just to those who we identify as hawks, but to those who are our friends as well. Not in an antagonistic or necessarily confrontational way, but we need to ask the chairs of all these caucuses, the Progressive Caucus, the Out of Iraq Caucus, the Congressional Black Caucus, when are you holding your caucuses to strategize on how to end this occupation in Iraq, in Afghanistan? When? We want to be there.
And
I want to be there. I plan to be there, and I plan to lead that effort when I go to Congress.
We're speaking with Marcy Winograd, and you can get more information on her run for Congress against Jane Harman, Democratic Jane Harman. Marcy is a progressive Democrat from the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party you've heard so much about. You can get more information on her at winogradforcongress.com. Is it com or org, or does it matter?
It's .com, and also if you want to stay on top of the latest developments, you can go to my Facebook page, which is Marcy Winograd for Congress.
There you go.
Facebook. You mentioned healthcare.
Yeah.
Brad, I wanted to talk about that for a minute, because if you watch Keith Olbermann or Rachel Maddow in the coming weeks, you may just see a commercial. I'm going to start airing a commercial. We raised money through an internet campaign where I am on a video standing outside of Harbor General in Torrance saying I'm running for Congress in 2010, but I, Marcy Winograd, am not going to wait until 2010 to challenge Jane Harman. I challenge her right here, right now, in front of this hospital to sign on to the most economic, most efficient health care plan out there, and that is Congressman John Conyers' bill for single-payer health care, H.R. 676. So we're going to take this campaign to the airwaves, and we're going to encourage primary challengers to come forth and do exactly that, because we need to put single-payer on the table.
And what's Jane Harman's position on single-payer? Actually, hold that thought. We're going to find out that position after this break. We're also going to take some of your calls. Marilyn, hang on the line there. Mimi, she saw your movie. That's Marcy Winograd on the line. Mimi Kennedy here with me in studio. Me being Brad Friedman. Going to take a quick break. Come on back with more from these lovely ladies. 45 after the hour. Brad in for Malloy.
Money.
All right, final segment back with the Mike Malloy Show. Brad in for Mike. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. I've got Mimi Kennedy in studio with me. Marcy Winograd on the phone. Mimi's got a new film out, In the Loop. It's a brilliantly funny anti-war comedy, says me. And Marcy is running against Democratic Congresswoman Jane Harman, the embattled. We didn't even get into her embattlement. But we don't have time for everything. Let me get a couple of these calls in real quick. And then we're going to get Harman's position on health care, because I'm sure Marcy Winograd has something to say about that. Marilyn, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hello.
Oh, Marilyn,
hello.
Calling from L.A. You're on the air. What's up, Marilyn?
Hi. I saw the movie, and it was fabulous. And there's also some... it's gut-wrenching, too, because you realize that's really what's happened. And so it's brilliantly funny, but there's a very serious message. After the movie, my friend and I walked past the federal building in Westwood, which is just like a block away from there, and there was a huge protest going on there with the Iranians, and it was so alive. And I would just like to ask all of you what we do to wake up the Americans to care. I was emailing with somebody who's involved in election protection today who was saying people here are concerned about a stolen election there and they don't care about them here. And, you know, I spend my life doing this, and I know you people do, too. How do we wake people up so that they care? Maybe Big Pharma has everybody too drugged. I don't know.
That's a good point.
Thanks for the call, Marilyn. Appreciate it. Who wants to take that? Mimi?
Well, we didn't go out in the streets. We're a really big country, and we weren't given the facts. So, you know, the guy, it was 4 years ago, and the guy who got into power because the election was fudged with, is the guy that the media wanted. And so there was a real clampdown. And I also think America is going through tremendous stress financially. And it's been going on long before this meltdown. And people are scrambling and in debt, and they're trying to raise their children. And we can't necessarily go out in the streets. Mm. And all the kids in the universities, you know, if you just had NYU and everybody around New York City, you might see what we've got in Tehran. But the other thing I was thinking driving here is the religious component is interesting. They're holding up there's a culture, and you see this in nonviolence everywhere, when there's a more homogeneous culture, when the thing is pressed, the nonviolent civil disobedience can have a kind of a moral underpinning that everybody understands. And I love our country. We're very diverse. But until we get down to the dignity of human life, all human life, we're not going to have our moral underpinning to send us into the streets yet. We're too divided.
Marcy Winograd, I know you've been a big election...
I just wanted to add one comment to what Mimi said, and that is that I think that there is great potential in our youth, you know, and I look around at what happened in Los Angeles with these budget cutbacks and the mass terminations of teachers and how students joined with teachers. I mean, I was on these marches, marching over to the district headquarters to demand that their teachers it hard to staff schools, be maintained, be kept, be retained, because we know that schools like the one that I work at, which is at Crenshaw High School, they stand to really lose when you lay off hard to staff schools, lay off teachers at hard to staff schools. And some of those layoffs were rescinded, you know, a substantial number. Not all of them, not as many as we had hoped, but there were some victories along the way. And I do think that there is great hope in our youth and that we have to turn our attention to them.
And I want to get one more call in here, but Marcy, I want to give you credit because you've been a great election integrity advocate, as has Mimi and Progressive Democrats of America. But I know you went up, I think it was in 05 or 06, and tried to make a citizen's arrest on the former Republican Secretary of State in California.
Yeah. Mimi and I were in the hall of the Secretary of State's building demanding accountability for having approved these Diebold touchscreen machines and software knew was highly hackable, and we were out there and demanding that we talk to him. Of course, he didn't address us, but we had our life-size citizen's arrest warrant.
We could use an election integrity advocate in Congress, a serious one, and you've paid your dues there, so thank you for that. Let me see if I can get Jeff in from La Habra real quick. Jeff, can you give it to it in about 15 seconds?
Yeah, I just want to say how lucky the people in the 36th district are to have someone like Marcy running. I mean, someone who's progressive like that out here, and I live out in La Habra, and we don't have any progressives here hardly even to vote. So I'm so jealous of the people in the 36th district.
Thanks for the call, Jeff.
It's a move.
Yeah, and we've got to help you get there this time, frankly, to make it a contest. How'd you do against? You ran again in 2008 against Harmon.
In 2006, I ran against Jane Harmon.
Yeah, 2006.
I jumped in 3 months before the election, yeah. Brad. And in those 3 months, I was able to mobilize 37.5%, almost 38. Hey, if you want to stretch it, almost 40% of the vote.
In the primary, yeah.
3 months. So we know that we can do it, right?
Yep.
We have a whole year to organize, to really decide who's going to take what neighborhood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How involved do you want to be? Because if we want to see change, that change starts with you at the grassroots level. It has to. Like I said, we don't have the money to compete on that level, nor would we want to. We want buy-in of a different kind that is real, you know?
Bless you.
This is about the people.
We want to help you make it real. Check out Marcy Winograd at Winograd. For the number 4, Congress.com, Winograd4Congress.com. We've got the links at bradblog.com. That might be easier to find out, to remember. Mimi Kennedy is, new film is In the Loop. Check out her website, pdamerica.org. Oh, it's a progressive hour around here. Marcy, thanks for joining us. Good luck with the race.
Great to be with you and Mimi.
God bless you for all you're
Marcy.
Doing.
I want all of your listeners to get involved. I don't care where you live. We have jobs for you.
There you go. Winograd for Congress.com.
La Habra will get progressive, too, with
all
Jeff
right.
there.
Listen, good work. And keep an eye out for In the Loop. It's a terrific film. Very funny. Mimi, thanks for joining me in the studio
it's
here.
It's always
you're
great
awesome. I got to thank everybody here. Engineer Tony Sorrentino, call screener Miranda Moreno, producer Desi Doyen, Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, Agent 99 at BradBlog, K-Talk AM 1150, and of course, Mike and Kathy Malloy. Thanks for allowing me to sit in the seat. Stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid if you're listening on Malloy.com. I'm Brad Friedman. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.